As you know, we're on a series here on a faith-filled stewardship adventure. We're talking about stewardship and how awesome it is. We talked about Psalms 24:1, that the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell in. So God owns what? You own? Isn't that wonderful? Stop paying for your house. It's not yours. No, I'm just kidding. You're stewarding that house, right? So God wants you to make the payment. We get to steward our stuff, God's stuff, and we get to steward ourself, two things we get to steward before the Lord as we're on this stewardship adventure. And we talked about this as our very first capital campaign that we've ever had in the history of our church. We're calling it our 2020 vision, to be debt free in 2020. By December 31st, 2020, we want to be completely debt free. We have a $2.7 million mortgage left, and we're hoping to pay that off. We're going to do a cool thing this next Sunday. But the reason that we're doing it is so that we can, instead of paying $32,000 a month to the bank, we can pay it to the kingdom of God and advance the kingdom in all of the different things we want to do. Because we want more campus ministries. We want to see more people saved. We want more community ministers. We want more in our community saved. We want to do more missions across the world. We want a Bible college and a mentoring program. We want to develop pastors because we want to plant churches. We want to see God do amazing things. And with those funds, we can fund the amazing things that the Lord wants us to do. We believe it's a call from God, a mandate from God, and we're going to do our launch next Sunday. Please, don't miss it next Sunday. If you've got other plans, try to see if you can move them around and be here. I know all of your hunters, get your deer early, all right? That's all I can say. Get your deer early. Lord, let them get it. Let them just be walking down Main Street and let the deer just jump in their truck, Lord, and take it home. All right? Make it happen, Lord. Believe that God will somehow get you your deer. All right? This is a great opportunity to partner with God to see some great things happen. We talked about our tagline, which was living, what was the first part? Living free and living faith. First one, living free. Last time we talked about living free. God's design for us from the beginning of time was to live free, but the fall, we lost it. Christ brought it back to us so that we're now set free and we can live free. We talked about the two kingdoms. Remember the two kingdoms? There was the kingdom of God, and then there was, quote unquote, what we called our kingdom, but we realized that's not correct. There's not God's kingdom and my kingdom. There is only God's kingdom. We kicked our kingdom over, and where do we sit? At his footstool, right? So let's get into our message this morning. I want to talk about living faith. Talked about living free. Now, living faith. Living faith. Please stand and let's read the scriptures we're going to read this morning. Out of Hebrews 1 through 3, 11, 1 through 3, and then 5 and 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing for the word of God. This is the Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to get into exegeting the word a little bit here, but I want to set some background first. This is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, it's the faith chapter. It's all of the people who lived by faith. All of the people are listed here who lived by faith. The key element in all of these are great men and women of God, but they lived by faith. Full of stories of ordinary people. Ordinary people who did extraordinary, extraordinary things because they believed God. They simply believed God. God spoke something to them. They believed it and then they walked out in it. And it happened. It came into being. They had faith. A living faith, not a dead faith. We're talking about living faith, not a dead faith. In James, he talks about faith without works is what? That's a dead faith. A dead faith is one, there's no actions behind it. There's no effort behind it. There's no believing. There's no doing behind it. What made these men of faith so great is God spoke something to them, and then they put action behind the belief. They put action behind the belief. They went out and did something. They went out. Noah grabbed a hammer and he started putting some boards together to make an ark. David subdued a kingdom. I mean, all of these men and women did great things for God because it wasn't a dead faith. It was a living faith, alive faith. That's what he wants for us. Is our faith today alive or is it dead? When's the last time you did something so great you wondered, how did that happen? It has to be God. Or do we live too comfortably? He talked about all these people. Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, James, David, Samuel, and the prophets. All of these people and all of the great things that they did. They did amazing things. They subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They were made strong. They became valiant. They fought. And the women received their dead back to life. Just extraordinary things happened because they believed on an amazing God. They exercised their faith. They stewarded their life in accordance with what God wanted them to do. And a supernatural anointing fell on them. You see, when we exercise our faith and believe God and start the action process of stepping out in the faith that God has given us or what He's asked us to do, there's an anointing that falls from heaven that empowers and enables us to do above and beyond what we could ask or think. Above and beyond what we could ask or think. But we have to step out in that belief. We have to step out in that faith. When it seems like it couldn't happen, But it can. It can. It can. All these men and women lived by faith. Look what they did. That's recorded there so that you might also be a partaker of those that live by faith. Let's get into our scripture. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. The NIV says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. An assurance about what we do not see. I can't see it, but God said it, so somehow I don't see it there, but I see it can happen. I see something in the spirit. I see something in my heart, in this vision. I see that God could do it. He could do it. They're hoping for something, but they're seeing it as if it was happening. I can't see how it could ever happen. But it will. It will come to pass. It will happen. Look at this right here.
So week 7, complete chaos in college football. So you start to look at the drawing board where college game day should go for week 8. And there's really no debate. It's been a long time. 15-year anniversary is this Saturday for that beautiful flag, Old Crimson. It's been traveling around college game day. There's only one place for college game day to go. Oregon at Washington State. We will see you in Pullman.
Woo!
Now, some of you out there are going, what does that mean? Some of you out there are going, oh my gosh, it's the evidence of things hoped for. God gave us a great example right now. A lot of people praying that this would happen. 15 years we've been behind the set of game day waving our flag and saying, please come to Pullman, please come to Pullman. And every year they said, no, 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 no. But this year, man, it's going to be, it's next Saturday. It's like the Saturday before our launch. It's like God's just putting energy in the air. I mean, it's just, it's a pregame. It's awesome, man. I couldn't even believe it. It was so exciting. How many know what this means? How many know what this means? How many don't know kind of what it means? It's just like, yeah, just, yeah, okay. For the last 15 years, behind the game day set at wherever it's been throughout the nation, we have put a cougar flag behind there so the cameras can see it. That would say, basically, we're saying, please come to Pullman. For the last 15 years, every Saturday game day, someone has taken that flag to wherever it's at and put it behind the set and said, please come to Pullman. And finally, they are. And I am so, so excited. I'm so excited by the game. I hope we win big. It's going to be a real tough game. It's going to be a real, real tough game. We want to win really big, though. I just thought, I know that this is a natural example maybe to a spiritual thing, but somebody was praying, I'm sure. Somebody was out there praying and believing God for this thing. Praying, Lord, bless mommy, daddy, bless Uncle Bob, and please bring game day to Pullman. It was some of the night's prayers for kids. It was what was happening. And not being able to see. What's that? Taking them a trial in the way they should go, yes, and what team they should be loyal to. That's good. Not being able to see how it could happen is what makes it a God thing, which makes it a faith thing. How could that happen? I don't know how that could happen, but I'm believing for it. I'm believing for it. It takes God to make it happen. Those are those things that the Lord puts inside of you, the faith to believe, adventures and things that He's called you to, things He wants you to do, things He wants you to believe for, that He's asking you. You look and you say, I can't see how that could happen. And God's going, great, because that means it has to be a God thing when it does. It has to be something that God did. That's what faith is. That's believing for something that it seems impossible to ever happen. That's the faith thing. That's the adventure thing. That's the God thing. Because you know that God does it. In its essence, faith is being sure and certain about unseen hopes and realities from God. Because when you start to lose hope, you start to lose your life, don't you? When you start losing hope about things, you start and you quit living. God wants us to keep our hope level high, to continue to believe that God is going to do amazing things. Verse 2. For it here referring to faith, for by faith, it, the elders obtained a good testimony. What is that saying? This is what the ancients, our ancestors, were commended for. He lists all of their names and he's going to give this whole list of all of these people. They were commended for it, for they were commended for their faith, for believing God. They believed Him in these insurmountable odds. They just simply believed Him. They believed Him. They believed Him. They believed Him. And it came to pass. Moses believed that, hey, we could get out of Egypt. And they did. They believed they could get through the Red Sea. And they did. They believed that they could conquer all of the armies as they went on their journey. And they did. They believed against insurmountable odds. They believed. And God loves it when you believe Him. Something happens inside of God when you say, I believe, that turns God's crank, that just goes, ah, they believe what I say. They believe what I say. Verse 3, by faith, again, this is the faith chapter. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. God made everything, nothing. From nothing. He made everything from nothing. There was nothing and He made everything in it. It didn't evolve. It was created by the word of God. God spoke it into being. God said, let there be light. And there was light. He spoke it into being from nothing. Let there be light. Let there be heaven. Let there be earth. Let there be plants, trees, sun, moon, stars, fish, birds, animals. Let us make man. In our image, it was all let there be. It was spoken into being. It was created by a God who cares about you, who's not disinterested, but he's interested, who's not uninvolved, but totally involved in everything that you're doing. And then in this next verse, in verse 5, we get kind of an understanding of something that happened way back in Genesis. We're kind of left hanging. But in verse 5 here in Hebrews, we get the revelation and get the aha of what happened. Because here's what happened. Genesis 5:4, it says, we're trying to solve this mystery about Enoch. It says in Genesis 5:24, this is all he says. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Okay, that's it. Yeah, that's all that happens. He's walking with God and he's not because God took him. You don't know, was God mad at him or did he do something bad? Where did he go? You took him where? What happened? You just realize that he's done. He's gone. But we get this revelation and the understanding of it in verse 5 in this faith chapter. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken away. Where was he taken away to? He was taken away to heaven. So that he did not see death. He did not experience death. Now he was 365 years old. 365 years old, didn't experience death. Well, I mean, to live 365 years old is a long time, right? Well, his son lived 969 years. Methuselah, 969 years. Can you imagine living that? You know, I remember back when I was a whippersnapper. I mean, you can remember that far back? A century ago. A millennial ago. He didn't experience death. He went through something. And was not found. He was not found on earth anymore. Because God had taken him to heaven. And before he was taken, or the reason he was taken, why did God take him, is because, we get the answer here, he had this testimony. He had this testimony that he pleased God. This is faith. This is his whole faith thing. He's gone. God takes him. But he has this testimony. The word testimony here, martyrio, it means to be a witness, to testify. It's where we get the word martyr from this. Because a martyr is a witness. He testifies with his life, right, to something. Enoch had a testimony. He was tested and he had a testimony because of it. He testified with his life. And his life's testimony was that he pleased God. My observation is this: walking in faith, that living faith, pleases God. You see, when you start walking in faith, when you start believing God, when you start acting, not a dead faith, but a living faith, and all of a sudden you start putting actions behind the beliefs that you have from the Lord and what he's asking you to do, what you feel he's calling you to do, and what you read from the Word of God, that all of a sudden what happens is it starts to bring pleasure to God because you're walking in faith and you're believing him. It's huge. It pleased God so much that he took him. He experienced something that the rest of us may not. He didn't die. The only other person I know who didn't die was Elijah, who was taken up in a whirlwind of chariots. And possibly some say maybe Moses, because nobody could find him. But the rest of us were going to die. He didn't. Why? Because he had a faith. His faith pleased God. And God goes, man, come here, man, I got to bring you right up here. Dude, you so inspire me. You are so awesome. You are so wonderful. Man, you believe what I say and you walk in it. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible. Say that with me. It's
impossible.
Without faith, it's
impossible
to
please.
It's impossible to please. If you don't have faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, must believe in God, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We'll talk about that in a moment. But without faith, it's impossible to
please.
please him. Now, my next observation, walking without faith does not please God. Do you get that? Walking in faith, I have pleasure. Walking without faith, I don't have pleasure. He's pleased with one. He's not pleased with the other. He wants us to walk with faith. Do you have a faithless walk with God or a faithful walk with God? One pleases God, one does not. Are we a faithful steward or a faithless steward? Are you faithful, faithless? What are you full of? What are you full of? Full of faith? Or are you full of doubt? Are you full of faith or full of doubt? Doubt is that faithless or lack of faith. When God asks you to step out and do something, are you faithful or faithless? When he asks you to do something that seems beyond what you could possibly do, do you say, there's no way I could do that? That's the idea of what faith is. You need God. But then, does that stop you and you become faithless because I can't do that? Or do you become faithful and go, all right, I'm just going to step out and do it then? Faith is to motivate us, to move us, to do things you never thought you could do because there's a God who's backing you up. I'll tell you this. You are full of it. You're full of it. Either you're full of faith or you're full of doubt in your walk with the Lord. You're full of something. You're full of something. Because when you walk your walk with the Lord, at some juncture, if you just keep moving and keep going because that's what God's called you to do, or you come to a spot where you get nervous, you get scared, you get frightened, you get, what will my friends think, you get, oh, what about, and you stop, that's doubt. I'm not going to step. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do. I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to say. We just stop. Faithful is, I don't know how, Lord. I can't see how it could happen, but somehow you know, so I'm just going to step out and believe. And when that happens, boom, God puts his hand there and says, wow, this is where I want you to live. In this faith-filled stewardship adventure. There's no adventure in going, no, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do it. I can't see it. It can't happen. No, 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 no. Give me my marbles. I want to go home. Over here, the adventure is, say, what? You want me to? You? There's an adventure in that. God has one for you. What is being full of faith pleases God. Being full of doubt pleases the devil. Being full of faith pleases God. Being full of doubt. Do you know who you make very happy when you doubt? You extremely happy, so excited, wrap his arms around you, hug you and say, yeah, 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 is the devil. When we move in doubt, it pleases him. Who do you want to please? Who do you want to please with your life? What is faith? Faith. Faith is the Greek word pistis. It means persuasion, credence, conviction of a religious truth or the truthfulness of God. It's reliance upon Christ for salvation or consistency or constancy. Constancy, right? The system of religious gospel truth itself. I boil it down to saying this. Faith is being persuaded by God and his word. Faith is being, oh, it's what it's, I believe that, and we start walking it. Faith is being persuaded by God and his word. Faith is a belief. It's a conviction that what God says is true and is sure to happen. When you do something somebody else can't understand and think you're stupid, I have a conviction before God to do this. When everybody's ridiculing people and tearing people down, and you get in there and you stand up and you fight for those who are marginalized or having a problem, you take a stand and everybody's laughing at you, but this is a conviction from God. I'm supposed to stand in the gap. Conviction. When everybody else is saying, hey, spend your money here, spend your money there, spend your money there, spend your money there. But you're saying, you know, the Bible says I'm supposed to give to the kingdom of God. And you decide to give and you believe God. All of a sudden you're walking in faith. A conviction. It's always when you talk about giving, it's always, you understand the difference between conviction and preference with people. Well, I think that, and they say that, and I go, do you do that? Oh, no, I don't do that, but I think that. I go, well, then that's a preference, not a conviction. Because a conviction, you always do. What God wants us to do is to get this, not as a preference. Oh, it'd be nice to, oh, great. Oh, this is nice. If it works out, if I'm feeling good and my friends are all with me and we're all, I prefer this. I have a preference. A conviction is, this is it. I'm going to walk this, not in arrogance, not in tearing people down, not on a soapbox, not ripping people apart. But it's a conviction that says, I'm going to walk what this says, whether my friends like it or not. It's a conviction. That God, so faith is a belief, a conviction that what God says is true and is sure to happen. I like this word about please too, because when it says that Enoch walked with God, and before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That word please is a very powerful word. It's a Greek word that means, and I can't even comprehend it honestly, it's his testimony that he pleased God. It means, if you look it up in your Strong's Concordance, to gratify entirely. Now, I don't know about you, as you're working with people, to try to gratify somebody entirely is a very difficult thing. Yeah. I like that. Yes, that's nice. That's nice. Well, entirely? Well, no, not entirely. That was nice. But it wasn't entirely. I'm just saying that this concept of gratifying God entirely. Somehow when we step out in faith and believe God and do what he asks us to do, causes such a gratification in God. I used to call it gratification. In God. That he just entirely gratified. Now, think about it. God, who makes the earth and the sunsets and the sun rises and the beauty of mountains and glaciers and rivers and waterfalls and all of that, that just like, hey, it's good, he said. That's good. Dang, I'm good. That's good stuff. And he sees all of that. But when you obey him, that gratifies him. Amazing. Enoch did it. What a tall order to totally gratify God. But Enoch did it. Somehow it can be done. I'd like to be Enoch too. Gratifying God entirely. Verse 6 says, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently is the word to search out or to investigate. Our word for 2018, investigate in 21:8, remember? It means to crave, demand, or worship. Diligently, he's a rewarder of those. How do you seek him? Is this how you seek him? He's a rewarder of those who search, investigate, crave, demand, worship him. He's looking for those type of people who just go after God because they want him so much. More than life itself. They just crave God. Crave a relationship with God. Crave worship. In our banner, we say in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it's our tagline on the banner in there. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We somehow see here rather than here. We walk looking not from here. Okay, oh, that's there. I gotta get around that. And better walk around. So, somehow instead of walking from here, we walk from here. We walk somehow seeing something in God that nobody else sees, but it causes you to act like nobody else acts. When difficult things happen and you just still have a smile and you're believing God and you're just moving forward and everybody else is wondering why, because you see things differently than everybody else sees, because they see with this and you see with this. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know, blind people walk with more faith than people with sight, I think. Jesselyn Wright. I don't know if she's here today, but because I know she goes down to Boise. Is she here? Is she out there? Hey, sweetie. You should see her walk. She's blind, right? She's blind. But she has more sight than most all of us. I'll tell you, as she walks, I mean, if I were blind, I'd be kind of walking like, you know, hey, is there anything there? And, you know, you know what I'm saying? You're trying to, oh, there's something there. What is that? You know, if you've ever seen her, man, she walks and runs everywhere. I would have so many scars on my body from running into stuff. But for some reason, she knows, she can see something somehow, feel it somewhere, that she just walks all over the place and doesn't seem to mind or care. My question is this, how do you walk in your faith? Is your faith a walk like this? Let me see. Oh, I want to put my toe in the water. Oh, is it warm enough to see if I want to go or not? Oh, I don't know if I want to jump. Oh, that's kind of cold. I mean, are we walking like this? Worried? Or are you just, bam, on a mission? I feel like I'm walking a little bit different right now, a little higher on that side. Faith. How are you walking your faith walk with God? This is not an adventure. That's not an adventure. It's an adventure when you boldly believe God and you just walk by faith, because walking like that pleases God. Walking like that pleases God. Which one describes you? Do you walk by faith? Don't see, but believe God. I don't see it. I can't see it, but I believe God. Or do you walk by sight? I see, and I believe in all those circumstances out there. Man, there are just so many obstacles, so many things. There's just no way that could happen. The fence is too high. This is too wide. This is too big. I can't do that. There's just no way. His heart is too hard. No, it'll never happen. I could never share. I could never do. I mean, you got a reason why nothing could ever happen. Faith, I don't see. I just believe God. Sight, I see and believe in all the circumstances, all the why nots. You see, us possessing faith is very important to God. It's very important to God. You see, faith in Jesus Christ is what separates Christians from all other people. Your faith in Christ separates you from all other people. That pistis, that trust in the Savior, which brings one into the family of God, is the foundation of all other qualities of the Christian life. Your faith! Your faith! Are you a man or a woman of faith? Yes, I go to church. That doesn't make you a man or woman of faith. Well, I go to church on Sunday. So what? I believe God when you can't even see how to get there. Yes, I'm a man of faith. Yes, I'm a woman of faith. I don't know how my roommate's going to get saved because she seems so hard and she's so... But I see that God can save her, and I'm going to be a testimony to her. I don't know how it could be popular out there if I don't say yes to everything that comes my way. But God's not asking me to be popular. He's asking me to have a testimony. To walk with boldness, honor, and integrity. Got faith? With it, with faith, we become Christians. Without it, we don't. With faith, we go to heaven. Without it, we don't. With it, we please God. Without it, we don't. With faith, you can move mountains. Without it, you don't. With it, we live the adventure. Without it, we don't. faith? Are we walking with faith? Or are you walking with your sight? Are you walking with what you understand, what you see, what you know, what you calculate? Are you walking way so far beyond that that this could never happen unless God shows up? Here's a question. So how do you get faith? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? All the naysayers out there, all the talking heads out there, all the gossip out there, all the, oh my gosh, it's so rotten out there. Or hearing what? Oh, they're all saying that. Oh, hey, hey, but here it says this. Hey, you guys, take hope. Hey, 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 hey. The answer, read the Word of God. Get into it. That's why we have an app on your phone. Living Faith Pullman, download it. You get an app. You can read the Bible. It'll mark what you're reading every day. You need to get through the Bible. You need to read it every day or every other day. You need to make sure you're going through some sort of a reading list. Why? Because faith comes by hearing this. The enemy would love to have you not hear it. Stay away from it. Get away from it. Because I can cause more doubt if you don't believe in that. Stay away. Don't read. Don't get into. Don't do it. Hey, watch the TV. Do something else. Go watch a friend. Do something else. Because this produces faith. That's why we gave you that app. You can click it on. It will read the scripture to you while you're putting your makeup on, guys. While you're driving to work, going to school. Because we got earphones in everywhere. Put some in and just put 5 minutes of the Word in there. Watch what it does. Get the app. Get the app. Get the app. Get it. Jesus was always talking about faith in the Gospels. And you see him talking about it so much because he knows how crucial, how important it is. And the enemy's going to rob you of it all and have you live a supernatural life. He would talk about it a lot. And he was disappointed at man's lack of faith. Jeez, you guys. I mean, in Matthew 6:30, oh, you of little faith. What a nice title to have. Who are you? Oh, I'm the little faith one. Oh, you of little faith. Why do you worry about your clothing? Matthew 8:26, oh, you of little faith, why are you fearful about the storm on the sea? Matthew 14:31, oh, you of little faith, he says, why do you doubt Peter walking on the water? And Mark 4:40, how is it that you have no faith? Not even little, none. Why are you so fearful when Jesus was asleep on a pillow and life seemed to be going to in a handbasket? Don't you care that we perish? You're on a pillow over there? Don't you guys have faith? But it looks so, but I'm with you. And I'm so big. The Holy Spirit is with you. And He's so big. If you have a little faith, how do you get more? How do you get more? Answer, ask for more. That's what the disciples did. Luke 17:5-7. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Give me more of this stuff. Give me more of it. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say this mulberry tree be pulled up by its roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Another time he says, hey, the mountain will come up and be thrown into the sea. He's saying that if you believe, great things can happen. And how much faith do you need? A mustard seed. He's saying it's not the amount of faith you have, it's just using it. I don't think I have enough faith. Oh, you don't have to. Just use it. I believe. Just step out. Just say what God wants you to say. Just take a stand. Just say no. Just do what God is asking you to do. My next question then, how do you grow your faith? How do you grow your faith? Exercise it. Use it. Exercise it. We've got some weights here. This is called, what's this called? Exercising. And what happens if I do this? What happens if you do that? This goes to this. This goes to this. This goes to... And I turn green. Exercise. Exercise. Use it. Utilize it. Pray for me. Oh! All right. No, I'm just... Please. Exercise. You're getting too fat in your doubt. Exercise your faith. We get too fat in our doubt. Exercise your faith. Watch what God will grow inside of you. And watch the adventure that begins to happen. Sometimes there's pain, though, in the exercising, isn't there? There's pain in the growing. No pain, no gain. There's pain in sacrifice, right? You have to sacrifice. I got to go to the gym. Got to do that. Got to make that happen. Got to do that. Oh, I got to take time. I got to go read the Word. I got to exercise my faith. I got to get into the Word. I got to know what I believe. I got to know why I believe it. And then I got to go and act on that belief. And then I got some friends who, they may feel, well, I'm just going to believe God because He said take a stand. And all of a sudden my friends left me. But then 3 weeks later, one of them came back to me and said, hey, you know what? I've seen a change in your life and my life is going to hell in a handbasket. And please, could you pray for me? And I don't know what's going on, but I want to be like you. And all of a sudden you realize, wow, me saying no to that caused that to come over here later, and now I'm able to change that into this. Hopefully you followed that. I got lost there somewhere. Either face the pain of sacrifice or face the pain of disappointment. You're going to face one pain. If you want to be, I want all my friends, and I want to face that sacrifice. And so you're with all of them. You're going to face the disappointment with your life later down the line. You face the sacrifice of no to that. I'm going this way. I'm going that way. You don't have to face the pain of disappointment, even though it may be a pain in the sacrifice. Matthew 9:37. There's an example of those who exercise their faith, and there's these blind men who are falling, crying out, Son of David, have mercy upon us. And when they had come into the house, the blind men came to him and said, and Jesus said to them, and this is what you, and Jesus is saying to you about your mountains, your problems. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? That's what faith is all about. Do you believe I'm able to do this amazing, miraculous thing? This impossible thing? They said, yes, Lord. Then Jesus touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be. You see, they exercised their faith. Their faith was huge. Their need was great. And their God was awesome. They exercised and put into action their faith. They asked big and believed big, and God moved big. What thing is God challenging you to believe for? Not a little faith, but a big faith. And I think we put this up on the overhead slide. We play it safe too much and ask such wimpy prayers. Prayers that we can accomplish by ourselves without the power of God. If I just tuck it in more, I can accomplish that. Without the power of God. We would rather play it safe and believe in ourselves for something small than to exercise our faith and to believe God for something big. When's the last time you prayed a big prayer? You believe in a big God. Christianity is not a lazy religion. It's an alive, active, and living one with people of living faith. Let me conclude this with just some comments I want to talk about next Sunday a little bit. We've been talking about being a good steward, believing God to do amazing things. I think to reach a goal of 2.7 million is a big thing. Beyond what I can do. Beyond what a lot of us can do. We need what we say is 1,000 blocks. If we were dividing out 1,000 blocks of $100 per month for the next 27 months, would be $2,700 for one block times 1,000 would be 2.7 million. Hopefully you followed the math there. And what we're asking for is not, hey, switch your tithe from there over to there because we need all the tithes. This is above and beyond tithing. This is hitting that sacrificial part where we believe God for something. Where we believe God for something. And what I want you to do, and if you would, is please pray and ask God what He wants you to do. This week, would you do that? Would you pray and ask God what He wants you to do? How many blocks He wants you to take? Maybe you can only take a half of one. Maybe two of you can take one. Maybe you can take 5 or 10 or 15 or 50. We have a lot of our staff that believe in this who are taking a lot of blocks personally themselves because they believe in it. I'm so blessed and honored by our staff who believe, who give. Ask God as His steward, what does He want you to do? Exercise your faith and believe God for that which is abundantly above and beyond what we could ask or think. It will take all of us, every single person in this room. It will take everyone doing something. It will take all of us doing something to accomplish this goal. And we hope to go far out beyond here with the thousands of other folks who have come through here. Hopefully they'll help. Every gift is significant and every gift is important. All of them. My heart is to ask you to increase your faith. Believe God for the impossible. And see what a miracle working God can do. I want to just share a testimony. If you know anything about me, I know some of you are new. If you know anything about me, I am not a money guy. I don't do that much. But I believe in it. I believe in generosity. I believe in tithing. I believe in giving. I believe in God honors that. But I'm very much against manipulation and trying to get you to do something. I just want to speak honestly. I had a businessman here who God challenged to give what he wanted to make in their business that month. Can you think of that? What do you want him to take home as your take-home check in the business? God, and this was unbeknownst to me at the time, he just did this. What do you want it to be? God said, give that. And it was a pretty good, huge chunk. And the cool thing was, as the year went by, what God gave him was not bringing back that tithe, whatever he wanted to make. He made twice as much. God did twice as much. I literally, the hair on my back of my head just stood up as I thought, wow. He believed God for something, and God does it because He responds to our faith. He didn't give comfortably. He gave faithfully. No one is inspired by the ordinary, but we are inspired by the extraordinary. But the extraordinary comes by sacrifice, and it's the sacrifice that brings the adventure. And the Bible is full of ordinary people doing extraordinary things by the power of a supernatural God. You see, the miracle comes in the abundantly above and beyond. That's where the stories are made. That's where the stories are made. That's where the memories are made that will last a lifetime. That's the faith-filled stewardship adventure. That's fulfilling the big dream that God has, not just for this. It's just preparing us for so much more. Ask God and then respond with obedience to the Lord over what He wants you to do. Be, give, steward. Would you do me a favor and would you please stand as I know I've gone over just a bit. I meant to say it this way. Well, I can't. I wanted those to stand who feel that they're supposed to be a part of this. And since you're all standing, please don't sit down, because not me! Ma! Okay. I want to pray. I want to pray for the supernatural of God. I want to pray that God would speak to your heart. I don't want you to give from the high point of emotionalism. I want you to give from the high point of faith. I don't want you to give, oh, that was a nice message. I guess we'll give my, no, I don't want to do. Give from the high point of your faith. What God's asking you to do. And then challenge Him. What about abundantly above and beyond that? God. Father, we pray that You've inspired us to do this, and we just believe You, Lord, somehow. We can't see it. We have faith to believe it will happen, but I pray for all these faithful people in this church that Carrie and I are so privileged to pastor. Father, first of all, I pray Your abundant blessings to be upon them. I thank You for them. I thank You for what their lives mean to You, the faith they walk in to serve You. Lord, we ask that You would speak to all of us. And we come back next Sunday at this launch, that You would have spoken something to us about what You want us to do. What's the number, Lord? How many blocks? What is it? Father, we just ask. We just want to hear from heaven. And I pray, Lord, with all disturbances and circumstances and everything just laid aside, that we would all go before Your throne this week, Lord, and just simply hear Your voice and do what You've asked us to do. And Lord, not just in this, but that we would go before Your throne to do what You asked us to do each and every day as we are men and women of faith. Thank You, Lord, for these people. I pray Your abundant blessings to be upon them. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Exercise your faith and let's see what God will do.